cool. None of us clash. You know that.
Can we get on with this? Because I want to go back to bed.
Yeah, let's get on.
Okay, right, let's go. Hello and welcome to Cultish, the podcast all about cult movies. What makes a cult film? And are all cult films worthy of the title? I'm Alex Secker, and joining me as always is, he often prefers the remake, Warren Bedensky.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Well, and he just likes anything that's bright and colourful. It's Paul Wells.
No, I've got to be on LSD.
Yeah, what was what I said? So to celebrate 90 episodes, we're bringing you a special mini-ep about remakes. We'll be sharing our favourite remakes and our least favourite remakes, and we'll also be deciding whether remakes are ever really worth it. But first, I'd like to ask you guys, what do we think actually constitutes as a remake? Anyone?
For me, I think a remake is any time someone remakes a movie.
So the reason why I've asked this question is because, like, so if we look at Tom Cruise's The Mummy, for example, is that technically a remake, or is it a reimagining of the Mummy mythos? And or you could say the same, like Stephen Sommers' the Mummy, is that its own movie, or is that a remake of the Universal horror movies, you know? And like the Hammer Mummy film, is that a remake of the Universal horror movies, or are they all just separate things that happen to have mummies in them?
It gets complicated because I've always thought that with like Dracula.
Yeah,
it's like, so Blade Trinity would technically be a remake of Dracula.
Yeah,
but it's not, because Dracula is like, I think for me, like the Mummy situation, because it's Universal have done it each time. That would be a remake for me. Wow.
So the Hammer film is its own separate thing then?
Yeah, I guess so. Because it's just taking... like, it's another adaptation of the original story as opposed to a remake of the previous movie version.
Yeah, see, because I don't think I'd necessarily consider Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, for example, that amazing film that stars Keanu Reeves, doing an English
such
accent.
Such a brilliant accent.
I don't think I would consider that a remake of like the Bela Lugosi Dracula.
Yeah,
it's a separate thing entirely. Yeah,
it's more like just done a book or basing itself off the Dracula character and story as opposed to the previous.
And like same for like the Coen brothers' True Grit. I don't think that's a remake of the John Wayne film True Grit. I think it's a different adaptation of the book.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see people choose either way, but yeah.
Or maybe a better example is Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory versus the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. They're both adaptations. I don't think they took anything when they were making Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory from that film.
Or possibly the book.
Well. But you know what I mean? Like, and I also don't think we can necessarily include reimaginings in this either. Like, Maleficent, I wouldn't necessarily call that a remake of Sleeping Beauty.
No, again, I think that falls into the another take on the original source as opposed to the movie.
Yeah, although it does definitely take elements from the movie, like Maleficent herself.
Yeah,
it's a different take on it, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's almost like a...
it's like the Huntsman.
Snow and the Huntsman.
Yeah, that's not a remake of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Yeah. Jack the Giant. I forgot that was a thing.
I watched that. It's fucking shit.
I watched that on an airplane. I had a great time, but I wouldn't necessarily watch it again. Ending was so bizarre, though.
The whole thing's bizarre. The fact that film exists is bizarre.
For some reason, like, I guess maybe because I was on a plane and I was sleep deprived, it took me forever till I made the connection of fee, fi, fo, and fum.
What do you mean?
You know, like, when people tell the story, they had the Django, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman.
Yeah.
And in the movie, his henchmen are called Fee, Fi, Tho, and Thumb.
Oh, right, I see.
That's how it goes into the story.
I've seen the movie once, and I did not care for it. I don't remember anything about it, really. Have no desire to rewatch it.
Still not sure why the main giant had two heads.
Mm.
I didn't get that.
I didn't get any of it, really. The only version of Jack and the Beanstalk that's worth anybody's time is that really small one that appears in an episode of Futurama. But I think it's important to differentiate from remakes. We'll play this loose. But I think it's important to differentiate from remakes and reimaginings and things like that before we go into it.
It's one of those where we basically said, it's up to personal preference.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Death Race 2000 remake Death Race has very little to do with Death Race 2000, but I think I'd still consider it a remake.
Yeah, like it's definitely based on Roger Corman's movie, even though it's a very different take on it. As opposed to maybe the Dorian Gray.
Death Race 2000 was awesome.
Yeah.
So the first port of call then is best remakes. What remakes do we think here at Cultish are the best remakes and why? I don't know if either of you two want to go first.
I don't know about best, but I'll go for my favourite.
Well, let's talk in terms of like context of like best in terms of like comparison to the original. Doesn't necessarily mean that the original was bad.
Mm.
Just that they took the original, built on it, and did a good job of that.
Well, I'm going to go for Ocean's 11 then.
Ah, Steven Soderbergh's Ocean's 11 with George Clooney.
It just, like, I remember the original quite vaguely. But it just brings, it just modernises it, doesn't it?
Mm.
If you know what I mean. It's just, they've still got the same lightheartedness and, you know, same kind of characters and stuff, but it just brings it into, you know, this century.
Yeah. I think what's really good about that film is the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that's what they were really good, and I think that's the main thing they took from the original. Yeah. Because the original is the Rat Pack, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. I just love George Clooney. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. The only reason why either of the sequels could manage to contain themselves, not including Ocean's 8, which is like a soft reboot / sequel.
Mm.
But the only reason I think either of the two sequels to the George Clooney movies work is again because of that camaraderie.
Yeah.
That's the only way that they're watchable, because those movies fucking suck.
I still need to watch them again.
I think the third one's the weakest, but I've got a soft spot for him. I do really enjoy them.
I enjoy them, but I am very much aware when I'm watching 12 and 13 that they're terrible. Whereas the original is great. It's just a great movie. It's a movie, in fact, that I often find myself like returning to when I'm feeling down or if I'm ill or like. It's like just a great fun movie to stick on and watch.
Definitely.
And I think all the characters are really great. Don Cheadle is great in that with his fucking ridiculous English accent.
Yeah. I'm going to be in right, Barney. Barney Rubble.
Trouble. And it's fun. And I always find it funny now watching it back that Matt Damon's like the new guy.
Yeah,
that sort of seems silly, but I agree. I like that, and when you compare it to the original as well, I think it's a good remake in terms of like it's different enough from the original that it doesn't feel like it's simply a retread.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it manages to capture what the original was all about.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a decent choice. I like that choice. That's a good one. I wish I'd chosen it actually, because the more I think about Soderbergh's Ocean's 11, the more I like it. The other thing, of course, about Soderbergh's Ocean's 11 is that it's sort of a film within its own right.
Mm.
Do Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't remember it as being a remake necessarily.
Mm.
I think a lot of people might be surprised to find out that it is.
I mean, I was when I first watched it. Well, I say first watched it years down the line.
Yeah,
were you?
Found out it was a remake. I was like, what?
I went to put it on telly one time. I was like, oh, Ocean's 11. I'll watch a bit of that. And it was, you had Sammy Davis Jr. and fucking some other dude. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
See, I think that's another thing as a mark of a good remake, is a remake that's managed to stand on its own.
Mm.
Not necessarily detract from the original. The original's still there, and it's still sort of like got a lot of love for the original. But it manages
to function as a movie in its own right.
Yeah, it's not just bullshit callbacks and like, because that's often things I think remakes struggle with is that they just try and, either they just try and call back to the original, like, hey, remember this from the original? Well, this is that, but slightly different.
Yeah, that sounds an awful lot like episode 7.
episode 7
actually isn't that bad, so let's stop.
Episode 7 isn't a remake as such, but
it's a Star Wars greatest hit.
I'm
with you.
Yeah.
I should say, episode 7, are we talking about the podcast?
No, I was thinking more like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good example now of like a remake that is basically just regurgitating stuff from the original but misses the point of it. And this is a controversial topic, but like Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah.
Right? They just do stuff from the original but without the context of the original, as if that's meant to make us go, oh yeah, I like this because it's like the original. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, here's how they get the hearse. So I don't really care. Like, that's just a thing that they drove in the original. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't. And like, they bring back the actors from the original and put them in other roles. And it's like, hey, remember this? And it's like, no, I don't. Like,
they what?
But while they bring back the actors from the original, don't they? They bring back Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson.
But they're not playing there.
But they're not playing the original characters.
Well, what the fuck is the point?
Dan Aykroyd might be playing Ray or himself.
It's really inconsistent. It's like a pointless reference that's there solely to try and win fan service.
But at the same time,
the movie, not to just shit on Ghostbusters, but at the same time, the movie spectacularly misses what made the original good in the first place, which is namely that you watch the original Ghostbusters and the humor is derived from the fact that these are three nerdy, woefully underprepared guys dealing with a genuinely scary supernatural force, right?
Mm.
Because like the horror elements of the original Ghostbusters are quite scary. The bit where she, like, the eggs pop up and start cooking on the side, and then she opens her fridge and there's the fucking dog in there. Zoom. You could put that in an actual horror movie, right? And that would work. Whereas, I think it misses, the new Ghostbusters misses that point in that it...
I'll be honest, I've not seen it.
Well, it plays itself far too much like a comedy. I know it's a silly thing to say because the original is a comedy.
I've always thought the original is way more a horror movie that's funny.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. Yeah.
Well, this one's a full-blown comedy and just a bit of a mess at times. It plays way more like a Will Ferrell comedy.
Yeah, it's super inconsistent as well. That's the other thing, is like the characters might at one point... Like it makes this big point of how socially awkward Kate McKinnon's character is, and then by the climax she's fucking got like weapons and she's twirling them around and it's meant to be cool and slow-mo, and it's just shit. Like, it is just bollocks. That movie was really bad, and I remember going to see that movie at the cinema, and I went to go see it with Maddie, my daughter, and she really likes it, whatever. I've bought it for her. She loves it. I'm not going to stop her from watching it. Who the fuck am I, you know? Like,
yeah.
But I remember going to see it at the cinema, and I just remember I remember the outrage about the fact that it was all women and how ridiculous that was. So I sort of tried to keep my opinion to myself, because my opinion was, I think it's ridiculous that they're remaking Ghostbusters. Nothing to do with the women or anything like that, just that they're remaking it full stop. Yeah, like, I don't really want to see... I'd be up for seeing, like, a reboot that's sort of set in the same timeline. But I'm not really that interested in an out-and-out remake, because I don't feel like...
Is that what it was? I didn't realise that's what it was. I thought it was like a sequel or something.
No, it's not. It's not a sequel at all. So I remember just keeping my opinion to myself and being like, well, I don't want to appear to be on the same side as these fucking raging misogynists, all right? Because fuck them. They're being assholes. And then I saw the movie, and I remember watching it in the cinema with my daughter, and just this sinking feeling of like, ah, shit, this is not good, and there's no way to avoid this. Like, this is really bad, and I can't pretend like I enjoyed any of it, because it just fucking sucks. So that would be an example of a remake that I think is just a callback. It can't stand on its own. It doesn't work on its own. There's too many bits of that movie that aren't really going to make any sense. Do you know what I mean? Like,
which is a shame, because they should have not bothered with any of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend too much time on Ghostbusters.
No, I agree. But like the cameos, for example, they don't add anything to the plot.
Oh, but you know why they were squeezed in, though, yeah?
I don't know about that.
Some of the emails that leaked is quite a fantastic storm of shit that happened during that movie. But basically, partway through making it, they realised we've got garbage.
Really?
They were not happy with what Paul Feig was doing. You know, in like the end credits, you see like the soldiers and things all dancing?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be like the big climax of the movie is... the bad guy makes everybody dance, and it's kind of this statement on how like silly the military and things are. And they filmed it. They spent like weeks filming it, and it didn't work. They got rushes back, and like, this will not work for an ending. So they're making this movie, and they don't have anything. And then the studio just starts second guessing everything. And the first trailer comes out and gets the negative reaction. So like, we need the guys to be in this. So find any way you can like convince or blackmail them into the movie.
Shit.
It was like they were like ringing out on contract. I think Bill Murray, they basically forced him into it. You know, they're like, find any piece of dirt, like something we could technically string through court to get him into the movie, and we'll just drop it if he shows up. Dan Aykroyd, they greenlit like a bunch of projects he's been wanting to do for like decades. Apparently Dan Aykroyd has huge pull at Sony. And there were emails going back and forth when he started seeing rushes and he started causing shit. Like he has power on like Ghostbusters. They're like, we need to please Dan Aykroyd right now. Because he's on the warpath.
I think like the problem with it is that using the cameos as an example, you can lift those scenes out and the film still makes sense, and therefore the cameos come across as feeling a little bit desperate and fan servicey.
Especially when you have the thing where they kill Bill Murray.
Yeah, well, that's it's just like great. You've got the, though, isn't it?
You've got the symbolism of your new Ghostbusters have killed the old stuff. What was good in the original, which everyone says is Bill Murray, the new people who your old fans aren't liking have just killed it.
Yeah, it is like a bit of a middle finger, isn't it? Like,
they should have left people like us alone. Like, no, go for a new generation, not give a shit.
Yeah, no, but absolutely.
Instead of doing that and then trying to advertise it to us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just ignore us. Mm. We have the first two.
Yeah.
Just ignore us and do your own thing.
Mm.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And do you know what? It probably would have been a better movie, even if it was like a Will Ferrell, lowest common denominator comedy, toilet humor like it is, if it didn't have any of that bullshit referencing fan service nonsense that I just find insulting, patronizing and annoying as a fan of the originals, I would at least be able to have watched it and gone, well, all right, whatever, but it's his own thing at least.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? But it desperately tries to remind you so much of the original at the same time that it's like...
I'm doing something completely different now. It's like, what are you doing? But the first advert was like 30 years ago, three friends had an idea.
Yeah, it looked like, a cool sequel, didn't piece. It?
Yeah, and then it's like, this is nothing. What? Who's in charge? Like, someone needed to be fired.
Yeah, 100% someone needed to be fired. That is awful. That film is awful. So anyway, I think off the back of that, Ocean's 11 is a really good choice. I tell you what, I think one of my favourite remakes is the one that I've decided to choose. I was umming and ahhing about The Thing for a very long time. The Thing is and is one of my favorite. John Carpenter's The Thing is one of my favorite films, and if not my favorite film, I think it's a masterpiece. I think it's brilliant, almost perfect in every way. And on that logic, obviously, surely it should be my favorite remake as well. I decided not to go with it because I think it just comes up all the time.
Yeah.
It's the obvious choice.
Mm.
So we all know that The Thing is a brilliant remake.
Mm.
Let's not talk about it.
Right? Yeah. Let's give someone else a chance.
Yeah, so I've decided to go with Cronenberg's The Fly.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if either of you guys have seen the original Fly.
No, but I've seen Cronenberg. Vincent
Price. Well, the original Fly is spectacularly brilliant in its hilarity and B-moviness. It is a genuinely enjoyable film that is ridiculous about a man that, like, the basic premise is the same. He's invented a transporter. He's going to, you know, and then a common house fly goes in. But it ends up where he comes out with a fly's head and the fly has his head. and that is like that episode of The Simpsons.
I've seen the pictures for.
And it's just mad. It's like a typical sort of 50s B movie, really silly. And I think what Cronenberg did is taking that idea, and that works in the 50s. But you try and do that at any other point, and it's like that's not going to work, yeah?
Ooh.
So Cronenberg was really... I think what Cronenberg did was really good in that he took the initial concept and just sort of brought it up into the 80s, basically. Mm. And do you know what I mean? And it becomes this sort of transformation story about his slow transformation, almost about disease, I suppose, in a way. His slow... Jeff Goldblum's slow transformation into being a fly-like creature. And you know that you've got the story, the whole like subplot about Gina Davis is pregnant with his baby and she doesn't know what that's going to be like. And I just think that it's a really fascinating retelling of a story. It's a really, really good example of a good way to do a sequel, that you take the fascinating stuff from the original and sort of morph it into a more modern take on it. And in that, it stands entirely on its own. I'm not entirely sure. It's been a while since I've watched either, but I don't remember there being any particularly big references to the original in Cronenberg's. It is literally its own movie. It's as if they took... It's almost like Cronenberg read the logline and then from that wrote his own thing. That doesn't always work. That's not always a good way to approach a sequel, to approach a remake rather. But I think in this instance it does, because what you end up with is, again, it's that it stands alone. It's its own movie. You've got like a iconic performance from Jeff Goldblum, some incredible visual effects. Arguably Cronenberg's most mainstream movie, I think, probably. Certainly of the body horror era, anyway.
Yeah.
And just a really decent film. So that would be my pick for best or most enjoyable remake in terms of its relation to the original. They are films that I can enjoy on totally separate levels. If I want to watch a dumb 50s B movie, the Vincent Price The Fly is a great film. If I want to watch a decent, genuinely unsettling, gory Cronenbergian horror, the Jeff Goldblum Fly is a great film. So like, they work totally separate from each other. But they're also an interesting part, two halves of a whole, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So that would be my choice.
Cool.
What about you, Warren? What about your favourite or best choice?
One I picked today is the Evil Dead remake.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Yeah, because I love the original, but I think almost similar to what you're saying with The Fly, it's like a brand new telling of that sort of idea, and it doesn't harken back to the original very much. It's a completely different group of characters.
When it does, the way that it does harken back to the original, I think is really interesting. Because so here's the thing about the Evil Dead remake, because I see people who hate it, and then I see people that love it, and I'm very much in your camp. I think that it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
I think it's a great movie. And a great movie that stands on its own as well. And I'd quite like them to do a sequel.
Yeah, same.
I genuinely would. I'd like to see what happens with Mia next and stuff. But I think one of the really interesting things about it is the way that it chooses to harken back to the original is it does things like the car is there, but that's sort of background aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sort of play into the plot and doesn't detract from the plot. It doesn't take time out of the movie. It's just sort of there. But also it does things like it plays on the tropes that any movie fan will know, regardless of whether or not they've seen the original Evil Dead. So it sets up the brother as being the quote-unquote Ash character, or like the lead, only to then sort of pull a reversal on that.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting, I think. But the thing about that is that works regardless of whether you've seen the Evil Dead remake or not. The film is still setting up that character to be the lead. But it works doubly so if you've seen the original.
Absolutely. If that makes sense. And it does, and it keeps the spirit of the original going, like, sort of full out on some really uncomfortable moments.
That's a good point, actually, because that's another thing, is it's very much, and this is something else I've often heard people criticize it for, and I've always found it a little bit bizarre, really, is people criticize it because it's too much of a horror. And I often say to people, yeah, what you need to remember is that it's a remake of the film The Evil Dead.
Yeah, it's not Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, and The Evil Dead is a horror. And that's what they're doing, is remaking that. They're essentially doing the film that they couldn't do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in a weird sort of way, that's what it is, right? It's like...
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they said when they were coming out. People were like, oh my God, like, why would you ever do this? It's like, well, now we can do it with money and we can throw buckets of blood at, like, other people and get away with stuff we couldn't before. And, like, technology has improved that, you know, we can add all these things we wanted to do and I couldn't even fathom doing back then. And, you know, fully control it and... just go balls to the wall again.
And what's more is that they absolutely pay out on that as well. Like, they say that they're going to go balls to the wall, and that film goes balls to the wall, right? Like,
yeah.
It is fucking mental. By the end, where she's, like, hacking up the thing with a chainsaw and it's raining
in blood.
Yeah, like, it's just fucking crazy. Yeah, that's a great choice. I think that's a really good movie. And again, as well, it's an example of a movie that also stands on its own. I don't think you necessarily have to have seen or know anything about the original Evil Dead in order for it to work. I think it just works on its own as well. Plus, like, Fede Alvarez is a really interesting director, I think. And I'm very curious to see what else he's made three films, right?
Yeah.
And... out of the three, two of them I would consider genuinely good films.
Mm.
I think the Evil Dead remake is fucking fantastic. I love it. Don't Breathe is a decent movie. I don't love it, but it's good. I enjoy it. Girl in a Spider's Web, I think the main problem with that movie is that it's Fincher.
Yeah, I think it's like got a weird sanitation to it as well.
Mm.
Like, they got... I know, because Fincher's movie was expensive, but it went Balls to the Wall, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it didn't do gangbusters at the box office. Like, it should have been a cheaper movie, Fincher's film.
Yeah.
Really, when you consider what kind of movie it is. And then they were like, okay, it can be edgy, but not, you know, in the same way, like, Suicide Squad's edgy, but studio edgy.
Yeah.
they're villains, but they're almost all good guys.
They played it a little bit too safe, I think. That's true. But I think it looks really interesting. It's a decent looking film.
I can't argue with that. Definitely.
So I'm always really interested to see what Alvarez does. I think I read that he's doing Don't Breathe 2, which, you know, fine, but I wish he'd do Evil Dead 2.
Yeah. And the movie made money. It made almost $100 million worldwide.
Really?
$70 million budget. So I don't know why they haven't moved on it. Maybe because they did the TV show.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe it's... now they will. Mm. I also quite like Jane Levy.
Mm. Same.
So I'd like her to do more, right? But yeah, that's cool. Those are some cool picks there. So, okay. What do we think are our worst? We'll go in the same order again. We'll do Paul, me, Warren. So, Paul, what have you got as a remake that you think failed to capitalize on?
I went for Total Recall.
Okay.
Because that film sucks.
This is Colin Farrell, right?
Colin Farrell, Kate Beckinsale.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, and somebody else.
Oh, Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel, yeah, that's the one.
See, I haven't seen this movie since the cinema.
Oh, man.
I remember like, just being utterly...
This fall under the... Whether it's a reimagining or if it's a remake.
Well, this is an interesting thing. And I was thinking about this when you told us it before we started recording. I was thinking about this. This is an interesting thing, right? So, Total Recall, the remake, is arguably probably more like a reimagining. They went back to the book, whatever, right? They called it Total Recall because they could capitalize on...
The Arnie version.
Recall. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But it's got more to do with the book than it does the original movie.
We say that.
Well, however...
Yeah.
However, I think part of the problem there is that the original Total Recall is so iconic, right? And everyone who's seen it and loves it. Like, it's one of my favourite Arnie films. I think it's fucking excellent.
I think it might be my favourite Arnie film, too.
Yeah, possibly. It's just brilliant. If you're gonna remake it, you need to remake it.
Mm.
Mm. Do you know what I mean? You can't just do another version that's, like, different. You need to do the Arnie one. You need to cast Dwayne Johnson... and go fucking mental, and like, do you know what I mean? That's what you need to do. It needs to be stupid and pumped up, and a remake of the Verhoeven movie, rather than this sort of half-assed, does references but
actually
sort of doesn't
very good at all.
Yeah, like you need to go for
it. They try making it too futuristic, and Colin Farrell. Although I like Colin Farrell, like sometimes he just can't do serious.
I remember a great story Kate Beckinsale has about this movie.
Oh yeah,
you know they fight in the bedroom.
Mm.
Yeah,
and then, as she put it, she pussy punches him. Yeah. He's like on the floor, and she slides along the floor, and you know, just like smacked in the face with her pussy. That's the best way she could describe it. And when they shot, and they shot that scene, as she slid across the floor, her boot like caught the floor and just went, like she was just farting on the floor. And then Colin Powell's face just like lit up in shock, like, oh my god, what is this woman doing? But I have a confession, guys.
Yeah,
I like this movie. However,
really,
it is a bad remake.
I don't want to comment on my thoughts of it. I just remember thinking that it was really crap, like in terms of remake. Anyway,
yeah, that's what I mean. And I went in there expecting like maybe not definitely not shot for shot remake, but yeah, more references. It being more like the Arnie one, and it was nothing like it.
I think that's this remake's problem. Is that if you're going to do a movie that's like, if you're going to remake an Arnie movie, basically, you need Arnie. Because any Arnie movie is more about Arnie than it is the movie. Like, we see this time and time again with Predator, right?
Yeah.
Part of the problem is that there's no Arnie. Now, I'm not saying that you need to get Arnie back. What you need to do is you need to find a different formula for the Predator. But that's the problem with Total Recall as well, is people like Total Recall because of Arnie. And if you don't have Arnie, you need to find a way to do that without Arnie.
And then Predator 2, they did that because they got Danny Glover.
Yeah, well, they almost do the total opposite. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're like, okay, we don't have Arnie, so let's get a really old over the hill. Do you know what I mean? It's like almost the total opposite.
I love the second Predator.
Yeah, no, I think the second Predator is really good as well. But that's what I mean. You need to find a way to make that work without Arnie.
Yeah.
Amendment to my Total Recall thought.
Oh, yeah.
The extended cut is a better movie. It makes a lot more sense.
I've not seen the extended cut.
Ethan Hawke's in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He plays Quaid.
Oh, right. Okay.
But he's like the Quaid before. So he's Quaid, and then Quaid gets his face changed to be Colin Farrell when they shipped him off in disguise into his new life. And a few of the story points play out better. But yeah, I think I agree this is a bad remake, especially with the face changer thing and the three-breasted hooker just weirdly thrown in.
Yeah, well, again, it's that thing, isn't it? If you're going to go the other way, don't do callbacks. This movie wants to have it both, and it can't. You can't call back to the Arnie movie and then cast Colin Farrell as if he's Arnie, because Colin Farrell isn't Arnie. So yeah, that's an interesting choice. I might rewatch that film, actually, because like I said, I haven't seen it since I first watched it. And
Taylor, if you think about it as like going on in the same world as Minority Report, that seems to make a lot more sense. I mean, I remember watching it and being like, right, they confused Total Recall for Blade Runner and Minority Report, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm expecting Deckard and
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Whoever Tom Cruise's character is called. Minority Report's a really good film, but I can't remember what Tom Cruise's character's called.
Ethan Cruise.
Anderson,
isn't it? Anderton.
Something like that.
It's Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, it's Ethan Hunt.
So my pick for worst remake and possibly worst film is The Pink Panther, starring Steve Martin.
Oh, God.
Now, I don't know if either of you have seen the original Pink Panther, the Blake Edwards, Peter Sellers one.
Many years ago.
See, now I think part of the problem with this movie is the Pink Panther, the first Pink Panther movie, David Niven, Peter Sellers, all of that, is what's I've always enjoyed about that movie, and I'm a big fan of the Pink Panther franchise, especially those original ones. But the first one, what I always liked about it is that it's almost like a straight crime caper except that there's also this idiot police officer. So, like, everyone else is playing it relatively straight. Like, there are jokes in there and stuff, but everyone else is playing it relatively straight. Except for Peter Sellers.
Mm.
And everyone's... And Shot in the Dark, the sequel, is like that as well. And everyone's reactions to Peter Sellers are sort of what make it funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Peter Sellers... sort of, there's a bit where he sort of walks up to someone just as two guys with a stretcher walk past, and he trips over, falls on the stretcher, and just gets carried out of frame. and the two guys just who he was going to speak to just sort of stand there, wait for him, and then he comes back in and carries on the conversation. And it's the way that no one brings it up, because there's that sort of like awkwardness of like, is this guy really that much of an idiot? Like, and I think that's sort of why it works. Whereas the Steve Martin version tries to just play it like, A, like it's a stupid comedy, and B, like he's an idiot. And the thing about Clouseau, Peter Sellers' Clouseau, is Clouseau's not an idiot. He's just really, really clumsy. Right? He's still a police officer. He still puts together things and stuff. He's just really clumsy and ridiculous. And I feel like they just totally missed the mark. It's just like a generic comedy that is literally only Pink Panther in name. It doesn't really share any of similarities with plot or anything like that. And Steve Martin just isn't as funny as Peter Sellers. Like, Steve Martin's a perfectly fine actor and a perfectly fine comedic actor in lots of films. But as that type of character, he just can't do it. Just can't do it.
No, yeah. I remember I was more confused when this movie came out, because the only Pink Panther I knew was the cartoon, but the actual Pink Panther.
Oh, right, yeah.
Being chased by an inspector.
Yeah, well, they're based off of the opening sequence of the Blake Edwards movies. Like, all of the Blake Edwards movies have these animated opening titles that feature the Pink Panther. And then they spun off into a cartoon. Bizarrely. I've got a box set that's the films and that. And they are great. I mean, I recommend watching the films if you like Peter Sellers, or even if you're just interested. The original Pink Panther movies are great. But yeah, I just think this movie... I remember feeling very uncomfortable with it when it was announced. I remember knowing that it wasn't going to be any good when I saw the trailer. Just knowing they'd missed the point. And then I remember going to see it and just like, you know, wow, this is a train wreck. This is like a train wreck on like Ghostbusters scale. And I always felt that it was a little bit of a shame that there wasn't more of an outrage about it, really. Because people don't really remember the original Pink Panther. But yeah, this movie is just fucking awful. So that's my pick. Unbelievably, it has a sequel.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Unbelievably so. And I've not seen that. I don't want to. But yeah, it just doesn't work. I think Pink Panther was so much of its time. And the character of Clouseau is so much Peter Sellers that it's sort of like the Arnie thing. It just doesn't work without Peter Sellers. Just doesn't work. That is Peter Sellers' character. And you can't do it. Nor can you simply just replicate it. Do you know what I mean? If you just do an impression of it, that's not going to be as good either. It just needs to be Peter Sellers. And it needs to be everyone around him as well. So yeah, that's my pick. What about you then, Warren?
My pick for worst has gone to The Mummy.
Oh yeah, which one?
The Tom Cruise version. Now, I was excited when this first was coming out because I like the Stephen Sommers version. I haven't seen the original, but you know, Stephen Sommers is kind of like the closest thing we got to a new Indiana Jones kind of movie.
I still maintain, I know I've said it before, but I still maintain, I wish they just carried on that franchise with the O'Connells fighting the Universal Monsters.
Mm. I mean, it would have been amazing. I still think it should have been ridiculously stupid with each one called the Mummy.
No, I think they should. I think they should go back like Indiana Jones style and rename it. So it's Rick O'Connell versus the Mummy, and then
I like that.
Rick O'Connell versus Dracula.
I like that even better. But, yeah, like that was a fun movie, and it had scary moments for. It's like a swashbuckling kids kind of horror film. I've always considered it an introductory horror film to test children.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I watched it with my daughter recently. Not that recently, but relatively recently. So yeah, I agree with that.
And I was excited,
by the way.
Ah, sweet. And I was excited by the idea of the new one. So they've got a female mum, and she looks really cool and badass in the trailers. Tom Cruise is there. He's always cool. I like Tom Cruise. And then I start getting the sense it's like, well, it's going to be kind of Mission Impossible-esque. And I was also intrigued, like, they're building a universe. It's like, great, even if this one's not great, we'll be able to see, like, the building blocks and see how it, and see all these other movies that will finally connect. It'll be cool to see the monsters battle off at some point.
Mm.
Brilliant. And the movie is a mess.
Oh.
Like,
it is such a mess.
When I was watching it, I remember it was like, this has more jokes than the Brendan Fraser one. But this is funnier and less scary. How is this less scary?
It's like, well, I'll tell you what's really frustrating about the Mummy, right? Because I'm sort of with you. I thought it. So first and foremost, I'm a Tom Cruise fan. I like Tom Cruise. If Tom Cruise is in a movie, for me, I will check it out.
Yeah.
Like, I think Tom Cruise is a sort of an odd stamp of approval. It doesn't always work out, but by and large, I like Tom Cruise movies. Don't get why people hate him, to be honest. I think, like...
The guy does his own stunts.
Yeah, I just think separate art from the artist and fuck off, basically. Like, do you know what I mean? That's what I think about that sort of thing. But, to a degree, like people should not be working with Roman Polanski or Victor Salva, but that's a separate thing entirely. Tom Cruise isn't a rapist or a paedophile.
Maybe he has some weird ideas, but he's never like physically hurt anyone.
Yeah. but anyway, like I think, I was fine with Tom Cruise being in it, and I was even fine with them going down a bit more of a Mission Impossible route. As long as it sort of maintained the horror, which they kept saying it was gonna. Yeah. And I am 100% behind the idea of Universal's dark universe.
Yeah. Right.
Like a universe of the classic monsters is excellent. They did it before, right? In like the classic age, they did it.
Mm.
So I'd love to see that concept rebooted. All you need to do is make a bunch of standalone movies and then start crossing them over like they used to do. Mm. I do think there's a big problem where I don't think the original Universal Monsters work as well when it's not period setting.
Oh, yeah.
But I was willing to give it a go. But you're right. I went to go see it at the cinema and it's just it's beyond a mess.
Yeah, I found the biggest problem seemed to be, like, it had too much setup for this other universe, but not enough setup where it would make sense if you hadn't followed everything. Like, you pick up that now that I think they might be reshuffling the Dark Universe, they might be cancelling it.
The last I heard, they were considering giving it to Blumhouse.
Yeah, but if they end up like cancelling or like just starting over again, this movie doesn't make sense.
Mm.
Like, there's too much, and like, why is Dr. Jekyll there?
It's true. It's just fucking nonsense. Just like, ideally, what I want, right, is I just want people to make classic monster movies.
Mm.
I just want to see like a modern version of Dracula, but still set in the right period and that sort of thing, just with like modern effects and modern capabilities and that sort of thing, right? I just want that. Like, I want them to bring back the sort of the class of horror. that comes with the original Universal Monsters movies. But at the same time, I want them to be scary. That's the big thing. That's the big problem, I think, is I want horror movies out of them. And The Mummy Tom Cruise edition fails miserably at being scary.
Yeah, I know that film hard to watch, wasn't it?
It's just not like. What's such a shame about it is there are moments where it's like, this is good setup for like the bit, I think it's under a pier.
Yeah.
That's
like the one I was going to say, like the one legitimately scary moment, and she sucks out the life from those two police officers.
Yeah, that's great. That is, and like there are parts of it as well where they're in London and the streets are sort of cobbled and foggy, and like it's like the aesthetic of it is okay, but it just doesn't know what it wants to be. And you've got this weird sort of American werewolf bit with his friend, from New Girl. That's just like that's in the wrong movie.
Oh, what, the ghost bit?
Yeah,
yeah.
I swear there must have been like a hasty rewrite in the edit to bring him back at the end. It's like he becomes the mummy at the end, Tom Cruise. It's like, okay, cool, maybe he'll be a villain. And then it's like he's riding in the desert and his mate Nick, is it Nick? Or is that just his name in New Girl?
Nick is his name in New Girl, yeah. I don't know what his actual
name
is. And
it's like, thanks for bringing me back from the dead, bro.
Yeah, it's just awful, isn't it? It's just a really bad film. So, okay, guys, those are our sort of best and worst remakes. And I think the question has to be, like, the final question to tap it all off is, when do we think, if ever, that remakes are ever really worth it? Because my personal opinion is that, like, if someone was to ask me, should they, like, because a lot of people are like, oh no, remakes are bad, never make a remake, and I think that's wrong. I think there are plenty of remakes that I really enjoy. I quite like Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, for example. Scarface is a remake, and that film's excellent.
Are they probably more reimaginings, but Planet of the Apes, the new ones, Rise, Dawn, and War, they were really good.
I'd call them reimaginings, or in fact, I think they're probably still part of the same continuity, aren't they? They're just prequels.
I think they kind of are.
Yeah, but really? But anyway, like the point being that, like, I don't think we should stop remakes altogether. I think remakes are a really interesting part of filmmaking, and I think they can be a way for like filmmakers and writers and things to get ideas off of the ground that they wouldn't have otherwise been able to. And look, everyone draws on everything, yeah? Everyone takes inspiration from everything. So there's nothing wrong with, like, watching a movie and thinking, like, I really want to do my own version of this. And if you're going to do that, why not be upfront about it and essentially remake it? If you think you've got something to add to something like that, why not go ahead and do it? I think the problem with remakes comes when it's people that don't have something to add. That's when you end up with the mummies. And like the mummy exists solely to set up a universe. It doesn't exist for any other reason. They've got nothing they want to add to the mummy mythos. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that they want to add to that. The Pink Panther movie. Steve Martin isn't interested in taking the idea of the original Pink Panther movie and adding to it. He's just trading off of the name the Pink Panther. And it's similar with Total Recall, I think, in a way. Like, they're not interested in doing anything with the original movie. They're purely trading off of that title. And I think that's a problem. With remakes. If you're gonna do a remake, you have to have something that you're gonna add and that you're gonna build on, and that you're gonna do something interesting with it. And I think there's plenty of evidence to prove that, like, movie fans will be forgiving of a movie. Like, the outrage over the idea that they were going to remake Dawn of the Dead. And then when that movie came out, a lot of people went, well, that was all right, actually.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, same with Evil Dead.
Mm. Yeah, I go to even a lesser extent. Like, people seem to enjoy the Italian Job remake.
Yeah.
Despite it not like being taking place in Italy.
It's not even the Italian. Like, that's an example of a movie that's trading off of its title solely in name. Like, that could be any other movie. But yeah, like, I think people tend to be forgiving if the movie's good.
Yeah.
And if you add something, if you watch a movie and you're like, I understand why this is a remake, but at the same time it's adding something, then that's fine. Whereas if you watch something and it's either A, this has added nothing, or B, I don't really understand why this is a remake and not its own thing, people don't like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that you have to, if you're doing I don't think that we should stop remakes, but I think it's important if you're doing a remake to make sure that you're building upon the existing established ideas, and that you're doing so, you're adding something, and perhaps most importantly as well, you're being faithful. People don't like it when you shit all over a concept or a movie. So anyway, that's my opinion. I don't know if you guys have anything you want to add.
No, I tend to agree.
Yeah.
I think mine might differ slightly. I always see remakes similar to like cover songs. I quite enjoy cover songs, and I'm quite fascinated by seeing people play with something that's established, you know, like seeing all the different versions of Dracula things. I think the only time remakes become like an issue for me is when like not necessarily enough time has passed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one.
Spider-Man and the Amazing
Fantastic
Spider-Man.
Fool.
But yeah. I get that. But I think much like cover songs, you still have to have some sort of respect for the original, right? Like,
I think if you, and it's got to be, yes, different in a way. Like Johnny Cash's version of Her is a fantastic version of a cover song.
Yeah.
While I think it was the Saturdays and Girls Aloud did Walk This Way, Talk This Way, you know, the Aerosmith, Run DMC. That was a terrible cover song because it missed the entire point of the original, which was two different musical genres coming together to make something. Yeah. Well, they had two pop girl bands who you could argue you couldn't distinguish from each other.
Yeah.
And there's a really badly written version of it as well. Like, the music wasn't even that great.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of similarity there, I think.
Yeah.
So cool. There we have it then. Remakes are worth it, but there just needs to be care put into them.
Yeah.
Like any other thing, basically. Guys, where can people find you?
I don't know. Probably in bed, let's face it.
Warren, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at @Warren_Bedensky and Instagram as well. I just put my name in there. They can see my own movie, which will maybe be remade one day, for better or worse. It'd be interesting to see a remake. I'll probably do it 20 years time.
Oh, Hitchcock style.
Yeah.
Remake your own films.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. And then, it's called Simon. Watch it on Amazon Prime, Google Play, Vudu, Vimeo.
Nice. And I'm Alex Secker. You can find me on Facebook /Alex Secker, Twitter @AlexSecker. You can read my reviews on Letterboxd and check out my blog at alexsecker.com. You can also follow the official Cultish Movies podcast on Facebook /Cultish Movies, Twitter @Cultish Movies. And if you enjoyed the show, please like, share, subscribe, and give us a review on iTunes. Or, Paul.
We'll make you into a crappy remake.
We will remake you. Next week, we're talking Neil LaBute's 2006 remake, The Wicker Man. We discussed the original Robin Hardy one before this episode, and we are doing the remake after, so be sure to check that out. But until then, guys, thanks for joining me.
Sorry.
Thanks for having us.
Listeners, thanks for listening. And all that's left to say is, if at first you don't succeed, or even if you do succeed, try again. Or don't, but just try and build off of what you did before, maybe, sometimes. Money's a big factor here.